all right? I want to preach tonight from this title. What does God want with me? I want everybody to say that with me. What does God want with me? All right, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for every person that's in here right now. I thank you, Lord God, for them making a sacrifice to be here. I pray, Lord God, that you would soften our hearts, God. Help us, Lord, to be hungry for your word the way that we're hungry for worship. Jesus, we long for you, Lord God. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against me. You, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name, help us, Lord, to know what you want with us tonight. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Amen. 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 This is a super important question that you need to answer. What does God want with you? If I was to ask you that question, would you know how to answer? Emma, what does God want with you in your life? Katie, what does God want with you in your life? Absolutely. Denny, what does God want with you in your life? That's a good one. I hope everybody tonight will be able to walk away knowing for a fact exactly what God wants in your life, okay? And what he wants with you. You ever had someone come up and talk to you and you're like, what are you talking to me for? What? Why are you talking to me? God's been talking to some of you. I want you to understand why in the world God would talk to you, what he wants with you, what he sees in you. Does anybody have a toddler in your life that you just love? That you just love? Obviously, there's Judah in my life, my little son, my little boy. But I remember even in past times, there's something about toddlers, because they're getting out of the baby stage, right? And there's something about toddlers. They're just so fun. They're hilarious. They're painful. They're difficult. They give you gray hairs before you're 30, but they are so much fun. They really are. Playing pretend with a toddler is unlike any other experience because they are in it. They are in it. They are fun and they are funny. They are absolutely toddler. My little boy is by far funnier than I am. And I'm not talking about looks. I mean, we walked in Walmart and there's a guy comes in with a big old beard. And Judah looks at me and he says, Daddy, is that a pirate? I'm like, dude, stop, stop. And then he says, pirates are bad. They say the most wrong things at the wrongest time. And toddlers don't know how to listen. Or don't know how to whisper and listen. They're a lot of fun. But I'm telling you, they can get into a whole lot of bad, a whole lot of wrong, really quick too. You don't look out for them in 1 second, it's like they've gotten into 14 things. It's our job to correct them, and it's our job to get them there, but... foolishness. They love to get into stuff. However, when you love a toddler, you look out for them because you love them. You just look out for them. Even if they try to do dumb stuff that will hurt them, that's not for their good, right? My little boy is always jumping off stuff he shouldn't be jumping off of. He thinks he can do it. He wants to run into stuff. He wants to, you know, jump over things or on things. But we look out for the toddlers in our life. Why? Not because they've earned it. My little boy hasn't earned it. Not because he has brown hair. Not because of how he looks. I look out for my little boy just because he's my little boy. Just because I love him. And that's how it is with toddlers in your life. Even if they're not your biological children. Ever been a child that you're drawn to, and you look out for them, not because of the color of their hair, but just because. That is why God loves you. Just because. You've never earned it. You've never acted in a way to deserve it. But God just loves you just because. And even when we're getting into everything that hurts us, even if we're running all over the place, even when we're making a mess, God loves you just because. We are attacked in thinking, we get this idea from everybody around us that God doesn't really care about you specifically. Right? We understand the general concept that God loves us, red and yellow, black and white. We are precious in His sight. But when it comes to you personally, Sarah, when it comes to you, Emily, when it comes to you, Megan, God literally loves you as an individual personally, the way He loves nobody else in this entire world. He loves you like no one has ever loved you. Just because. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. You see, we get this idea that God doesn't really care. But why don't you hear what He thinks about you? Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Who would like to take a guess how many hairs you got on your noggin? And we don't have any balding people here, so we got lots of hairs. Especially these apostolics, they got lots of hairs. Verse 32. Did I put 32? No, I didn't put 32 on there. You are love. God says that a sparrow doesn't fall to the earth without Him knowing about it. I don't know about you. I don't know how much sparrows cost today. Not once have I put it on my grocery list and said, pick up half a dozen sparrows and a gallon of milk. I don't pick up sparrows. But thank you, Jesus. You told me how much sparrows costed 2,000 years ago. He told me. You can get two sparrows for a penny, for a coin. You can get two sparrows for a coin. A coin back then equaled half a penny today. So for all our math whizzes, looking at you, girl. Okay, two sparrows equals a coin. Coin is half a penny. So that means one sparrow, half of today's penny. Chantel, Jasmine, let's give them a round of applause. Woo-hoo! There are our sisters from another mister's back there. So we are glad to have them. A sparrow is equal to a quarter of a penny. I don't have a penny on me. That's not very much. But God is saying, you, on the other hand, are not like these sparrows. You have value to me. Just the way you are. You don't need to clean yourself up to be worth it to me. You don't have to do the right thing to have value to me. Just the way you are. I love you the way you are. You don't need to hold yourself back until you feel like you're good enough. But I love you the way you are. And obviously, like any good daddy, He doesn't want you to stay the way you are forever. I love my babies too much to wish that they would crawl on the ground for the rest of their lives. Right? It's the cutest thing when little Eliana goes, and she's there to there in about 30 seconds because I'm eating some food. It's super cute that she crawls, but I'm telling you, it's not going to be super cute if she can only, all she does is crawl when she's 20 years old. It goes from cute to disturbing. Right? God says, I value you. Even if you don't value you, I value you. Even if the people around you don't see value in you, even if your parents have thrown you away, even if the world doesn't see much in you, I do. You're worth it. I love you like you don't even understand. But here's the cool thing about God is that it goes beyond valuing you. Because you know what? I value my sneakers. I value these kicks. But I don't look out for them the way I should look out for them. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. God does more than just value you. He thinks about you too. You ever think about the fact that God thinks about you? Personally, Aaron, God thinks about you, man. What does God think about you? Now, you are also highly educated. We have college graduates in our midst. Thank you. She made it. Craig, did you make it yet? He made it. Okay, it's like an essay question. What does God think about you? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So when he thinks of Katie, what does God think? Can we put that back up, please? That's all right. What does God think about Katie? What does he think towards her, says the Lord? All our college graduates, come on, you've been in this for 8 years. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. What does he think about Jerrica? What does he think about you, Jerry? He wants to give you a future and a hope. God is not here saying, oh my goodness, they messed up again. Oh my goodness, when will they get it right? Because guess what? When you were born, he knew the exact number of mess ups that you would do. So it's no surprise when you fall back again. It's no surprise when you think that thought again or when you tile that lie again. But God knows and he loves you in spite of you. Amen? God thinks of you a future and a hope. You ever try to help someone? They are just a mess. And they don't want to receive help? Poster child, my friendos. Poster child and a half. People be trying to help me when I was just a young blood. I thought I was hotter than you don't even know what. I was the coolest guy in school, and I was the coolest guy at church, in my opinion. Probably no one else's. Those who grew up with me are verifying that. No, but really, I thought I could play both worlds and be top dog here, top dog with my friends who were very much not living for God. I lived two lives. I tried to be the very coolest person in every situation I was at. You see, how does this fit with what does God want with me? God wants the absolute best for you, even when you don't understand what is the best for you. I wanted my way. Anyone ever been there? You're like tired of doing it your parents' way. You're tired of doing it, even trying to do it Christian way. I remember the exact spot where I sat where I said, God, I am tired of trying to live for you. I'm tired of trying to do all these rules. I'm tired, Lord God, of trying to do right. I'm going to do it for me. I'm going to do what I think is best. I'm going to have fun. Let me tell you, if anyone's ever been there and taken that step of trying to do it your way, does it end up being all that fun? It's not worth it. It's so not fun. I put myself, I can't blame anybody else. It was my choice. I put myself in depression. I put myself in addiction. I put myself in bondage and in pain. And when you're in this life of trying to do it all in your own way and on your own plan and whatever makes sense to you, you isolate yourself from everybody. And you put on a mask that everything is just cool. Everything is wonderful. And really, you're feeling this darkness on the inside. That was me. And nobody knew about it. But thank God, one day light shone on my situation. And I remember the day that I gave up on God. But I'll tell you what, I remember the exact spot where I said, God, I am so sorry. Jesus, I surrender my way to you again, Lord God. God, I'm so tired of trying my own way. Because you know what? God has a future and a hope for you. Yes. Amen. God has a hope for you. He loves you. And he wants the very best for you. And when you try to do it your own way, it is not as fun as you think it's going to be. So it's either your way or God's way. That's all there ever is. Amen? I remember the day that it turned around for me. And it all started with one day. Don't you ever believe that things can't turn around in one day. One day is all it can take to turn around your life from bondage and depression and disease and darkness. One day changed the life of Abraham. One day changed the life of Peter and Paul. One day changed the life of Mark and Pastor Matt. One day changed the lives of so many people around here, where one day we said, God, I surrender. I'm so tired of trying to do it on my own, God. I'm so tired of trying to do what makes sense to me and what feels good to me, Jesus. From here on out, I want to live my life in a way that pleases you. What do you have to lose when you say, you know what? I'm going to try it God's way for the first time. Yes. What does that look like? Committing to church. Committing to a church that preaches the truth in the Spirit and is walking the Spirit. That is their first humongous step. Because guess what? You need the help. You need the help. You can't do it on your own. You've been doing it on your own for so long. How's that going for you? Not too hot. But when you commit to the people of God and say, you know what? No, Matt, am I telling you the truth? Am I telling the truth, Aaron? When you commit to people to say, you know what? When I'm not there, I need you to help me. When I'm not feeling it, I need you to feel it for me. I need you to be my help. I need you to walk with me because I've been trying on my own. When you make a decision and a commitment that I'm done trying on my own and I'm done putting people near me that aren't looking out for me, I'm going to start drawing people with me that really love me and care for me. Your life will change forever. The question is, how long will you try something that doesn't work? You ever see someone who's so prideful that they keep trying something even though it never works? How frustrating is it to watch someone doing something wrong over and over and over again? And you're trying to tell them, dude, that's not the right end of the screwdriver. That's not how you do it. Quit doing it that way. But in their own mind, they're so smart. In their own mind, my daddy has been putting screws in with the handle of the screwdriver for all my life. My grandfather did it the wrong way, and my friends and family do it the wrong way, so I'm going to do it this way too. But it takes one person that's smart enough and humble enough to say, you know what? I don't care what everyone else is doing. I don't care what those people are doing behind me or what people might do ahead of me, but I want to do it right in the eyes of God. I want to live according to this word. If the word says I need to do it, I'm going to do it. And I don't care how much it costs me. I don't care how difficult it is or how uncomfortable it makes me feel to raise my hands in worship or how strange I might sound when I begin to pray. But I want to do it because God says he loves to hear the praises of his people. God said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. God says, lift up yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and accept. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. God says, lift up your voice. It was God and not me. Amen? Amen. God is leading you. He loves you too much to leave you where you are at. John 14:1-6. I want to show you how much God loves you. God said, let not your heart be troubled. Anyone walk into this place and your heart has been troubled? You believe in God, believe also in me. Now I want to ask a very serious question. I want you to raise your hand only if you mean it. But I do want you to raise your hand if you mean it. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Okay, good. Okay, good. If you believe in God, then you believe in his word because God wrote the word of God. So you're going to believe what happens next in verse 2. Jesus, God in the flesh, in my Father's house are many mansions. What does that mean? Many mansions. He's talking about houses. He's talking about places that he's made for you. He's talking about heaven. If you believe in God, do you believe there is a heaven? That's all there is to it, because he writes about it in his word. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus, speaking to you, Ethan, Jesus, speaking to you, Jasmine, says, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. He's talking about heaven. We'll stay right here. He's talking about heaven. He says, I've made a place for you. There is really a literal heaven. Yes. That's what God says. If you don't want to believe it, take your chances and find out. One day you will believe there's a heaven. I'll leave it at that. You will find out that there is a heaven, because you'll be able to see it but not go in. Thomas, speaking to Jesus, says, Lord, he doesn't get that he's talking about heaven. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You got to be thankful for the Thomases in your life, because sometimes, like you, they don't get it, but they ask the stupid question anyway. Right? We all need someone to ask the question that no one else wants to ask and be seen as a ding-dong. Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm telling you it's so important, because had Thomas not asked that question, he would not have heard these words. Jesus says to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I tried my own for years. And one day I decided, I want to try this way. Before they were called Christians, before they were called apostolics, do your research, they were called people of the way. Paul referred to them as people of the way. Not Presbyterians, not Lutherans, not apostolics, not Pentecostals, not Catholics, not Jehovah's Witnesses, people of the way. The truth and the life. So the question is, how much longer will you try your own way? Or are you ready to try the way, the truth, and the life? I don't know about you, but I don't want to go on my way any longer. Because when I go on my way, I am alone and I am scared. I don't know what's going on. I feel the weight of the world on my shoulders. I feel the stress. I feel arguments. I feel darkness. I feel depression and bondage. But when I decided, you know what? I want to try the way. I want to really live for God. I want to really surrender everything I've got to God. I'm telling you, there's a weight that will be lifted off of your shoulders. As you say, you know what? Devil, hear me right now. God is my rock. Amen? I'm going to try this. And we have so many people who are in church, whose parents aren't in church, who are not in the truth. My parents, Dad and Donna, their parents are not walking in this way. Because sometimes you need to take a step out and say, it's not about my family. It's about my walk with God. Yes. Amen? So how do I get to this way? Because the Bible says that he has prepared a place for you, Olivia. He's prepared a place for you, Kayla. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if someone says, I've got a vacation house for you. You just got to get there. Right? They got somewhere in Florida. They got someone in California. And it's totally paid off. It's totally there. It's fully stocked with Pepsi, Sprite, and Kool-Aid. All you got to do is get there. What would you be asking? Give me them directions, boy. That's what I'd be saying. I said, you best be telling me, because I need a week at the beach. Anybody else? I need a week at the beach. Preach that word. Jesus did not prepare a place for you in heaven, only for you to never find out how to get there. He made it very clear so that, college graduates can get it, but even people who are still in the process can get it too. He made it so that everybody, we got churches, I'm not going much longer. We got churches where their leader is the only one that's able to understand the Word of God. And he tells you the way you have to understand it. He's right, you're wrong. No matter what you read, no matter what you think, if it comes out of here, that's the truth, no matter what the Word says. But that's not how we are in this place. Amen? That's not how we are in this place. It's in the Word, and you can understand the Word. Amen? Because he's made it that plain. You don't need a doctorate degree to understand the Word of God. He made it very clear. So let me read for you it very clear in John 3, verses 1. We're going to read about a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, okay, he's talking to Jesus, right? He's talking to the Almighty God. Nobody's ever called me Rabbi. Nobody probably ever will. He's talking to Jesus. We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, my friend, I say to you, it's okay, he's making it very clear, unless one is born again, he cannot. What is he saying? Can you? No. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Could it get any more clear than that? He's going to try. Verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Right? So Jesus said, you got to be born again, brother. And Nicodemus says, how can I be born when I'm old? I'm an old dude. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, what is he saying? You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus, that's not Mark. That's not Mark. It's not the book of Mark. Jesus is saying, unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, can you go to heaven? You answer me. According to the words of Jesus, can you go? Can you enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and of the Spirit? No, I didn't say that. I'm not putting that. That's Jesus. You've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. And then as we begin to read about the church, we read about how it first happens. And the Bible says that they repented. That means they turned away from every sin that they ever committed. And then they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The only way that anyone was ever baptized in the entire Bible was in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. They were born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen? And so that is a very true question you need to ask yourself. Number one, okay, very simple. Do you want to try God's way? I can't answer for you. Brother Mark can't answer for you. Hayden can't answer for you. Emma can't answer for you. Aaron can't answer for you. Do you want to try God's way or do you want to keep going your own way? Do I want to go my own way? I tried it. You can try it. I'm telling you, it's miserable. If you decide, Mark, that sounds good. I want to go to heaven. I want to try your way, God. Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? I can't answer that for you either. If you have experienced that, if you know that experience and what that's like, you remember. But if you haven't experienced that ever before, I invite you. Tell Emma, tell Sophia, tell me. We'd love to show you in the Word. We'd love to walk you through the Word. Because it's the Bible that says it, not me. It is something, it'll change your life. Aaron, how was it when you were baptized in Jesus' name? Is the most amazing thing is you feel this weight lifted in every sin that you ever committed dropping off of your chest. And number two, Have you ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Jesus said you must be born again. We read it. Of the water and of the Spirit. Cecilia received the Holy Ghost just a couple services ago. As we raise our hands and as we worship God, we begin to speak in a language that we did not learn. And that is a sign of having the Holy Ghost. That is just the Almighty God living on the inside. And He wants to draw you to that. So I invite every person in here, just like we did before, to come forward beyond the first pew. And if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, you just raise your hands and you just begin to worship God. Because He wants to give you joy like you've never felt. He wants to give you peace like you've never experienced. I'm telling you, it is the best thing that ever happened in my life was to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing to be scared of. It's just you and God. It's not about anybody else. Hallelujah. And everybody else, we're going to create an atmosphere of worship. We're going to create an atmosphere of sacrifice, just like you needed when you received the Holy Ghost for the very first time. So reach out to God. Be honest with yourself. If you want to walk with God, if you want to live for God, hallelujah, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. I want your Spirit, Lord God. I want you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. The Bible says if you seek, you're going to find tonight. If you're hungry, He's going to fill you tonight. Hallelujah. Keep reaching out. Hallelujah.
You thought I was worth saving.